Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Give us the strength to do our daily activities and to help those who are less fortunate. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. This quote is from C.S. Lewis, an Irish writer. The title of today's show is The Condo. Upon his return to the Windy City, Fred began the process of getting housing accommodations. He really looked forward to getting his condo and getting established at his new job assignment at MEFCO. He arrived in Chicago on a Monday and started his search for a condo immediately. With the help of an efficient real estate agent, he found a place to his liking in a high-rise off Lake Michigan in downtown Chicago. It was a plush abode that could accommodate any number of guests, but his attention was still on Maggie. He hoped to see her soon and end their long time of separation. Fred planned to arrange furniture and get settled in his new residence by the weekend. He wasted little time in his attempt to reunite with Maggie, and so before the end of the weekend, he had called and invited her to come to his condo the following weekend. Maggie accepted the invitation, and they both looked forward to their reunion and the chance to reminisce about their past experiences, at least the pleasant ones, and discuss their hopes for the future. By the end of Fred's first week in Chicago, he felt at home in his new job as well as his new place of lodging. He looked forward to the weekend of relaxation ahead when he could spend some time with Maggie and to possibly rekindle some of those old flames. Fred's condo had a view that nearly equaled the one that he had at his place in Hawaii. On both sides of the living room, large sliding doors led to a patio 65 stories above the ground. Yes, Fred's patio provided a perfect vantage point to view downtown as it transitioned into working-class neighborhoods beyond it, and eventually the extremities of the Cook County suburbs. Looking towards the western horizon reminded him of when he first departed the airport en route to Hawaii. Such a majestic scene. The other side of the condo offered an equally impressive view of Lake Michigan and beyond, with the Indiana suburbs in the background looking towards the south. He looked forward to enjoying these sights with Maggie and was reminded of his time alone with her in Hawaii. He planned to have pizza as they had done then. It had already been prepared and only needed to be heated. The homemade pizza would be ready to eat by the time Maggie arrived later that Saturday morning. He had spent the previous 2 days arranging furniture to his liking, so he felt he could shower all of his attention on her once she got there. Finally, the day of Maggie's visit was here. The building's doorman was notified of her arrival, and she was directed to the elevator at the ground level. Yes, Maggie was about to meet the man of her dreams. We'll return after a break to witness that meeting. Stay with us.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy reading.
Welcome back. After taking the elevator up to the 65th floor, Maggie finally reached his door. She gingerly rang the doorbell, and Fred quickly answered, and then saw that brilliant face once again, a face that he had been missing for such a long time. He welcomed her into his place. They had so much to talk about in such a small amount of time. Maggie had mentioned to him earlier that she had personal matters to attend back in Detroit later that night, but said she would return the next morning to attend church with him as she had promised. Maggie and Fred greeted each other with a casual embrace. Then Fred gleefully said to her, "I'm so glad to see you again, Mag. I've really missed you." "I'm glad to see you too," Maggie replied. Sensitive to her situation, with a more somber expression on his face, Fred said, "I'm so sorry about your husband's death." Then he continued, "I'm sure that you are still grieving. I've thought about you a lot and prayed for your well-being." "And the accident? Have you recovered from that?" he asked. Maggie responded, "I'm fine now, and I appreciate your concern." Maggie seemed to have something more to say, but appeared reluctant, and Fred could see tears threatening to spill from her eyes. "What is it, Meg?" he asked. "Because of my injuries from the accident," Maggie said, her voice becoming barely audible, "I can't have children." Fred was devastated by her news. He so often had anticipated having children of his own one day. He could only imagine how this must be affecting her. Maggie went on to describe the vision she had after the accident and how she had seen John. "I love my husband very much, you know. Like any couple, I suppose we had our growing pains. I know the little you saw of him revealed the worst side of his character, and I'm sorry about that, Fred. I thought his actions that night in Hawaii were just plain bad. But I'm as much to blame as John for that. I should have been honest with him and let him know that I was meeting you. But I just knew that he would have told me that I couldn't see you. And Fred, I really needed to talk to you." Tears started to flow down her cheeks, and he could see she was fighting to compose herself as she continued. "You see, Fred, I was still emotionally tied to you then, and I still feel that way now." Fred put his arms around her and held her gently, then said to her, "Meg, I still have feelings for you too. I finally came to realize that we all have our desires, and if we keep the faith, those desires will be satisfied, one way or the other." With those encouraging words, they moved past the topic of their relationship and what happened that night when John confronted Fred. After discussing other aspects of their past, Fred took Maggie out on the balcony, not far from the roof near the top of the building, overlooking the city, and they both marveled at the view. At that height, a gentle breeze provided a freshness, not to mention a serenity, that the surface below at street level lacked. "Ah, the roof. That's where one could view the famous Chicago skyline." But they were on his patio, a perfect simulation of a roof environment where they were met with that crisp, cool summer breeze, similar to what Fred experienced several times on his condo patio back in Hawaii, where in that environment, the Pacific Ocean served as the backdrop, a fantastic background to the city and beyond. But now they had all of Chicago in view. Yes, they sat there now on his patio, 65 stories above the ground, not far from the roof of the building, at twilight when the stars had just begun to twinkle. It was there where for several minutes they talked about life and their plans for the future. And yes, like Hawaii, they had found a paradise where just the two of them could forget, at least temporarily, all their cares.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof is peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet.
Up on the roof,
I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street.
Up on the roof,
on the roof, the only place I know, where you just have to wish to make it so. Up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
At night the stars put on a show for free. Telling you right smack dab in the middle of town, I found a paradise that's trouble-proof. And if this world starts getting you down, there's room enough up for two up on the roof.
Let's take another break.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. After a while, they left the patio and returned inside, where Fred gave her a tour of his new condo. They ended in the living area, where they watched a little TV and chatted about many different things, including their time back in college and his experiences in Hawaii. By early evening, Maggie said it was time for her to return home. They had such a wonderful time together. Fred only wished that she could stay longer. He assumed that whatever prompted Maggie to leave so early in the evening must be important. So he shrugged it off and didn't think any more about it. Fred guided her to the door, gave her a kiss on the cheek, and said he looked forward to seeing her the next morning, when they had planned to attend church together. After that, they would return to his condo and no doubt talk more about their lives and future. Our scripture today comes from Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18, and it says, "My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure buildings, and in quiet resting places." Yes, Maggie and Fred had found a perfect resting place, they thought, high above the clatter of street-level noise below. It was a place where their minds could freely explore the possibilities of the future. While Maggie knew that such a peaceful habitation, that place of perfect peace, would not be realized until her transition, they both looked forward to satisfying, right now, a physical desire that they had so long had hoped for ever since the night they met on the campus of MCCU. Yes, Maggie would get that opportunity sooner than she realized. Our virtual song is coming next. Well, remember this, there's always more. More good things coming your way.
Master, the tempest is raging. Oh, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness. We perish. Oh, how can thou lie asleep? It seems like each moment so madly is threatening. Get up, Jesus, because the way obey your will. Yeah. the winds and the waves. Bless God. Shall obey your will. And all you've got to say, Lord Jesus, peace be still. Let's go. Weather the wrath.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.